It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. I'm Tom Caron, he's Jerry Remy, and we are finally doing this podcast with regular season baseball being played. Jerry, we started this, I think, either in late February or the beginning of March, and it's the final full week of July, and it's the first time we've done baseball. How does it feel to be back doing baseball?
Well, it feels great, as you know. We've all been anxious to get back and play a little baseball and watch some baseball and analyze some baseball. And that's exactly what we've been doing for the last four games. And it feels so good to have it back in the picture. Sitting around all that time, just you and I talking about when it might come back, negotiations, all that. It gets a little tiring. And now we finally have something that we can talk about. So it's great to be back. Our conditions that we're working in are absolutely terrific. And I'm just very excited about the fact that we're playing some baseball games.
You know, Jerry, we said that this empty stadium and the sound effect, we kept calling it the new normal. But you know what the old normal is? Fans bitching about the Red Sox pitching. And it didn't take long to get back to that, did it?
No, it didn't. No, it took one game. And, it really is. It's frustrating because, you get a well-pitched game out of Eovaldi and a team scores a bunch of runs, and now you find yourself behind by multiple runs early in the game. And there's nothing more devastating to an offense or a team when that happens, when you're trying to play from behind every single game. And, you have a big inning, you get a couple of runs, you feel like you're back in the game, and all of a sudden the pitching staff comes back and gives up more runs. So it has been depressing, really, to watch the last three games because that's the way things have gone. And, I don't know how they're going to straighten it out. I really don't, to be honest with you. I expect better performances out of guys like Weber. I think that he's going to be a little bit more aggressive with his pitches instead of trying to nibble with them. And the same thing with Perez, who pitched the second game. He came out early in the game and he was just throwing a bunch of breaking balls, and he's got a fastball that's about 94 and he wasn't using it. And then when he started to use it, it seemed to get a little bit better. So the starting pitcher, we knew was going to be a question mark, but it showed its ugly head here very early.
No doubt about that. And like you said, where they go, I mean, at this moment in time, you're going to be in the Bronx this weekend facing the Yankees. And you've got Ryan Weber, TBA, lined up against the Yankees. And that's not a great feeling right now.
No, and you look at the schedule for the next couple of weeks. I mean, you still got a couple more with the Mets. You've got to go over there to play them a few games. You got the Yankees. You got Tampa Bay. You got a very difficult schedule here at the beginning. The only cookie on the schedule was Baltimore, and they took two out of three. So, you've got to get this thing straightened out quickly. And the thing for me, TC, is, if they can get five decent innings out of their starters, they've got a good bullpen. They've got guys out there that can get people out. But they're not even getting to that point right now. And, as Xander Bogaerts came out and said, after the game, he said, it's frustrating. It's just you're playing from behind all the time. And when you get a couple, you feel like you're back in the game. All of a sudden, they gave up a couple more, and you feel like you're down again. So it's an uphill battle. And it's not a fun way to play baseball.
They've been down by five runs in the fourth inning of three straight games. Or more runs allowed in three of their first four games to start the season. That hasn't happened since 1901. That is a long time ago. Over 100 years since they've gotten off to this kind of start. I had Chaim Bloom, chief baseball officer, join me on the pregame show. And I asked him, what do they do now with the tough start for this pitching staff?
Chaim, it's been a rough start as far as starting pitching goes, and different guys have had opportunities and you're trying different things with the bullpen. Is this going to be something that you're sort of looking at as the season goes, that you're going to try different things and see what fits? Where do you go from here after the rough start?
Yeah, I mean, certainly this is not the start that you want, either in terms of the record or in terms of how we prevented runs these last three games. And we knew that, you know, especially coming into this past winter, that we needed to augment our depth. And we did that. And then, of course, we got hit pretty hard between, you know, what happened to Chris and then obviously losing a number of guys to the virus. You know, so we knew we were going to be going through some guys here. We're optimistic that, you know, some of these guys are going to separate themselves and show that they can contribute here. And we're going to keep looking at some of them going forward. There's a lot of things that they bring to the table. We just need to see them be able to bring that into games at the big league level.
You saw it from Zach Godley over four strong innings last night. An outing like that, does that give him a bigger role, lead him to a bigger role next time?
Yeah, that was about as good as you could hope to see. And really, when you add to that the last preseason appearance he had with us, he was really on target. I mean, he got, I think, about 15 swings and misses last night. Some really good hitters that didn't really get good swings at either the cutter or the curveball. That's exactly what we're hoping to see from him. You know, certainly there's a reason we brought him in here, and you could certainly expect him to continue getting opportunities.
Yeah, I think fans and probably media, too, have focused on Eduardo Rodriguez, but you mentioned all the arms. And as you're looking at these bullpen games some days, Darwinson Hernandez and Josh Taylor are huge parts of that bullpen. How much of a loss have they been when you look at that strategy?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, those guys, they're very good major league relievers. And, you know, when you look at not just the loss of them, but what it means for everybody else in terms of sliding into roles that, you know, where you would hope they would be more depth guys and other guys that we're counting on in spots where if we were fully healthy, we wouldn't be counting on them. You know, it just goes to show the importance of depth and why we're trying to amass that depth and keep bringing guys in here that we think can help. But there's no question we have missed them. The good thing is they seem to be over the hump. Now it's really just a question of getting them through really a training period that's going to take time. We can't just run them out there right now. We got to let them face hitters, got to have them go through some kind of training period to do it safely, but they're on their way back.
Jerry, you said if they could get five innings, serviceable innings out of a guy, that makes everything different. We saw Zach Godley come in, maybe should have come in earlier, but he came in and pitched four innings, seven strikeouts, didn't give up a run. Maybe they found something there for the next time through the rotation. What'd you think about Godley?
Well, you got to give him a chance, don't you? I mean, you at least got to put him in there for a start because, you know, he did pitch very well in the ball game. And, you know, he's an interesting guy. You know, he is not overpowering by any means, but he mixes up that fastball, the cutter, the changeup. You know, he'll throw them all and he grunts as he throws them up there, even though he's not throwing all that hard. But the fact is that, you know, after a performance like he had, you know, I think you've got to give him an opportunity, and he's a guy that's got experience. He's been around, so starting's not going to intimidate him. You know, it's just whether he can be effective or not. And if he pitches like he did, you know, in the game against the Mets last night, you know, you got to figure that, you know, he's going to be decent anyway, and you got no other option really but to give him a chance to make a start, and at least, you know, you have somebody you could call another starter. So he deserves that second chance and maybe the third chance, and we'll see how it goes from there.
You know, you mentioned the grunts. I love that he grunts when he throws the changeup because you got to sell it,
yeah,
right? If you're going to grunt on the fastball, you better grunt on the changeup too.
Yeah, exactly. He's a grunter, you know, and then grunters are usually guys that throw about 99 miles an hour, but this guy doesn't, and he's still grunting. He's grunting on changeups, which is unbelievable. Most guys want to be quiet with it, you know, but he, you know, he just lets it fly. But I like his competitiveness, you know. I just don't know, you know, the quality of his stuff, whether it's going to hold up over the course of a season.
All right, Jared, in the middle of all of this, you're dealing with this COVID-19 outbreak, the Miami Marlins. I mean, this is unfathomable, right? A major league team being shut down for a week, the Phillies being shut down for not quite as long. So now you're actually changing the schedule. The Yankees play the Orioles because neither team had anything to do. I mean, this is almost, we're not at the breaking point yet, but we're a heck of a lot closer than I thought we'd be in week one.
I agree with you, Tom. You know, I agree with you. And that is scary stuff. And you know, to have that many people on a road trip test positive is just incredible to me. And now you're already into canceling games, canceling a week of the season for them, and you know, other teams changing their schedule around. It's a mess. It's a total mess. And, you know, I don't know how in the world they're going to go through with this, you know, the whole way. I hope they're able to find a way. I hope nobody more else gets sick. But you can see what happens. You know, the first road trip they go on, bingo. You know, there you go. You got almost the whole team with COVID. So very, very sad situation. I hope everybody's okay.
I can't imagine, Jerry, and I know I'm sure you can't either, just how the commissioner's office handles this. You're literally changing a major league schedule in the middle of the week. And I guess maybe you go back to 9/11 off the top of my head, the only time I can remember anything like that happening where you had to shut down all of baseball, then add games after that. It's going to be in what was already the strangest schedule ever. It becomes, again, you can't, you know, if another team has a breakout or something, I don't know how much more you could do here.
I'm totally with you. You know, they've got to be smart at MLB, and they've got to realize the fact that, you know, what kind of season are you going to have? What kind of competitive season can you possibly have? You know, the Marlins now are going to have to play, what, all doubleheaders to catch up? I mean, that's crazy. It's insane. So, I mean, MLB's going to be on top of this. So they can't be passive, you know, when it comes to making a decision, because if you make the wrong decision, you're playing with fire, and you can't play with fire with this situation the way it is.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and everybody's talking about it, including everybody in the Red Sox clubhouse. Here's what they had to say.
Yeah, nervous, concerned, I think. Obviously, it's not ideal by any means, and, you know, I can't speak for what they're going through right now. Obviously, I see everything that's been I guess brought up or written, and you know, all we can do is focus on what we've continued to do here and stick to our protocols and attack it that way. You know, if we just stick to the script, maybe we can, you know, keep ourselves, or, you know, some of these other teams can keep themselves out of that situation as well.
This is kind of what we feared all along going in, right, Jerry? I'm just surprised it happened this quickly. I thought something like this would happen. I just thought it would be a few weeks down the road.
Yeah, it's scary. It's really scary. It is, you know. And it to me, I felt like it was going to happen as soon as people started to travel, and that's exactly what happened. And it's you know, I don't have a comfortable feeling about all this. I really don't. I'm sorry to say that. You know, I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we're doing some games. But I think we're going to have major breakouts like this, you know, as this goes along. And it's going to come a point where they're going to have to make a decision. You know, the safety of the players will try to fight through this thing. And I think the safety of the players should be first, because you're going to end up with teams out there that are going to have AAA and AA guys competing against major league teams. And that's not right. And more importantly is the health of the players. So you look at Erod, for example. What a scary thing that is, you know, with his heart being involved now after getting the COVID-19. I mean, if I was him, I'd go home. I mean, I wouldn't be fooling around talking about, you know, I'm going to try to throw again in a week and see how I feel. I mean, the hell with that. You know, just take it to the house. It's a 60-game season, and you can't be fooling around with a heart problem after getting COVID. So, it scares me. It really does scare me. And, you know, it's like, I think X said it perfectly last night. It's like when you expect a rain delay and those guys are behind the top and they're getting ready to push it out, you almost feel like that's the way the season's going. You know, every morning when you wake up, you kind of check the phone right away to see if any other breakout happened and what's going on. So, It's scary. It's very scary to me. And I knew it was going to happen when people started to travel.
When you look at this all, Ron Renicki's saying, listen, maybe if there's an upside of the Marlins situation happening so early, it'll scare other teams into hunkering down and staying in those hotel rooms and not doing anything. Here's what he said about his team's reaction to everything happening with the Marlins.
We talked a little while ago. It's something that I'm hopeful that it scares them a little bit into, hey, I know we've been good at this, but we can be better. We can stop fist pumping. We can stop doing the things that the protocols are trying to get us not to do. And I realize the emotions that come into play when you score a run and when you hit a home run and, you know, where you get a big strikeout. I understand all those things, but but we have to keep reminding guys of trying to stay with the things that our medical department has said will keep us safe, and hopefully that continues, and we're able to go on the road and do the right things.
So Jerry, it's interesting when you hear them talk about, you know, this maybe scaring them into it. And I think you mentioned Eduardo Rodriguez before. I think E-Rod scares them into this too a little bit. Like you said, 27 years old. Myocarditis. That's the word. Myocarditis.
Whatever it is.
It's inflammation of the heart muscle. I talked to a cardiologist and he said, that's what it is from COVID-19. He said, I see no way I could allow him to play again. Now, he's not there. He's not working with him. We'll see medication rest. You know, maybe he's thrown again and then they can ramp it up. But if I'm a teammate talking to E-Rod and I see what's happening with the Marlins and I see what he's going through, even after recovering and testing negative, I am not leaving my room ever, ever, ever until October when I get to go home.
No, I would agree with you, but you know the one thing to always keep in mind when you're talking about baseball players or any athletes, they're young. You know, they're in their 20s, they're in their early 30s, and a lot of times when you're that age, you think you're invincible. You know, and I give the Red Sox credit; they've done everything they possibly can to educate these guys on what to do. I agree with you that this should be a wake up call. It's what's happened over the last couple of days, but the fact is you know, not kids, but young men are going to be young men. And they can only take so much of being in a hotel room. I mean, I can't stand being alone in a hotel room. I get out of there at 10 o'clock in the morning and I go sit in the lobby for crying out loud. I just can't take it. So, you know, they've got to be smart, you know, and hopefully they will be. Hopefully nothing affects them. But when you count on 30 teams to be smart, you know, you're rolling the dice right there. You're really rolling the dice, especially the condition of the country, right, the way it's in right now is as bad as it's ever been. I mean, everything you do when you leave your hotel room, you roll in the dice. So it's very, very scary. I mean, I hope nothing happens. I hope nothing serious happens to anybody. But, they've got to make smart decisions. And baseball has to make smart decisions to go along with it.
And we'll see what those decisions are, especially over the next few days. Philly's getting first round of tests negative, but we know it can take a couple of days before you really know what's going on. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Over the last few weeks, Jerry, you and I have talked a lot about how we're doing things at Ness and how happy you are with all of that. But I want to talk about the broadcast itself, because you guys have gone a few games here, and it sounds like you never missed a beat. And you and Eck, when you guys get going, and you were talking during the Mets game, you know, about how as players you never really got to enjoy the game, and you were always afraid that if you relax and had too much fun, the game would bite you in the ass. But those conversations seem so organic and so authentic, and it feels like I'm sitting there listening to two players in the clubhouse trade stories. What is it about the chemistry, especially between you and Eck, that flows like that during the course of a game?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that, TC. That means a lot to me, and it means a lot to Eck, too. And, you know, I think we're different people but kind of think the same. And I think we played the same way. We played with a lot of intensity, and we were always on the edge, you know. And that's what we were talking about the other day. You know, there's some players, like we had Verdugo on the mic, and he's having a ball out there, you know. And I say to myself, I wish I could have been like that, but I just couldn't be, because I was always waiting for the bad foot to drop, you know. And that's just the way I am as a person. I mean, I feel the same way doing the broadcast. I get nervous before every broadcast. I want it to be a good broadcast. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. And I think Eck feels the exact same way. So we kind of think alike, you know, in many ways. And I think one of the great things about it, you know, he knows the pitching very well. I know some of the other stuff very well. And we can mix and match on that, and we can go back and forth on things like that. So it's been a pleasure. It really has been a pleasure to work with these guys and you know, put on the show that we put on, and we're proud of it. You know, we also have a lot of pride, and we want to do it good. We want to do it the best that we can possibly do, and we want to be one of the best teams in the league. That's how we feel. That's how you felt as a player, and that's how you feel as a broadcaster.
When did you find, I mean, now you're relaxed on the air, but I remember the early days you weren't, and there were earlier days than when I was around. You kind of originally, when you started as a broadcaster, you know, I know just like prepping for a game, your head was so in, I don't know if you allowed yourself to have some fun. When did that change? When did you allow yourself to start having fun in the broadcast?
You know, it's actually when I started working with Sean McDonough, you know, because he knew that I knew the game, but he didn't think I was being myself, you know, and he tried to bring me out as a person, as, you know, what I am, like off air. And I struggled the first couple of years. To a point where I thought I was going to just, you know, pack it up and go back to coaching. And I'm glad I ended up staying with it. But it took a guy like him to bring out two things: my baseball knowledge and challenge me on that, and also bring out my personality. And that's what made the difference to me. Once I could relax, the other thing too, when I started, I was way over prepared. You know, I had more stuff. It was taking up the majority of my day trying to be ready for both teams. And I've learned over the years, there's only certain things that I need for myself, that I need to know that works for me. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different system. You have a different system than I have. You have to. You got a different system than your analysts in the studio have. You know what works for you. And that's when I think you finally become comfortable in your job. And now when I put the headset on, I feel like I'm at home. I mean, it's an electric moment for me at the start of a game.
You know, it's funny. Eck the other day even said to me, you know, I've been watching Jerry and working with him so closely, and even now I'm kind of learning little tricks, like exactly what you're saying. He goes, I'm trying to know too much. And he goes, you know, yes, Jerry understands that as long as you know what you need to know, then you can always add on to it. But if you spent the whole day, by the time you get there to do the game, and I'm guilty of that, and we've all learned to back off a little bit, because if you do it all day, my God, by the end of a long game, if it's a 3.5-hour game, you're toast, right? You're burnt out. You've got to be able to ramp up as the game begins and go.
I used to make up papers, TC, and and especially on the opposition, and I'd look at them after the game. I never used them. You know, I hardly ever use them. And I realized over the years, too, yes, you have to know about the other team. There's no question about that. You need a certain knowledge of them. But what you're doing is Red Sox baseball, and that's where you really got to be prepared. And you know, that's how I try to approach it. I try to, you know, I have know the nuts and bolts of the opposition, but what I really need to know is about the Red Sox. And, you know, just doing a game, seeing a team one time. Like, for example, I didn't know a lot about the Mets. I saw them last night. Now tonight I know a lot more about them, what certain guys look like at the plate, what they look like in the field. So it makes, you know, it adds to the second broadcast as compared to the first. So it's all in what works for you. And everybody's got a different system. And, you know, Dave's got a different system than X got, and X got a different system than I've got. But it's whatever works for you and what you can get out to entertain the audience.
All right, Jerry, great stuff. Great spending time with you. As always, we appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
All right, TC, take care. See you in a while.